As you all can see, I have with me today beautiful peppers purchased at your local friendly Meijer's store. Okay, purchased today, not today, yesterday at Meijer's. Okay. Lovely. When people complain to me they couldn't hear the jokes on the tape. Thank God. Okay, very nice. You think, well, what in the world, one thing we're accustomed to buying produce in America is no problem. Lovely. What in the world could be the issue? One thing that we never have a problem buying is produce. You know, some people actually claim, Rabbi, I only go to the restaurant to buy vegetarian. What could be wrong with that? We'll talk about that. Okay. Plenty of things. These are lovely peppers. Isn't it amazing that they can, you know. This is like the kind of thing that they would do a still life in, okay? Except when you look carefully, it says, Gilad, number 3121. Remember when they used to, like, weigh your produce and, you know, they would just, you know, how much a pound? Now every single pear has a sticker on it. Okay. Product of Israel. So you say, wonderful, product of Israel. I like supporting the Israeli economy. I totally agree. One should support the Israeli economy. It's very important to support the Israeli economy. I like buying peppers from Israel. There's only one problem with these peppers, as I mentioned last week, is they're not kosher. I say it that way because there's a lot of truth to that statement. They're not kosher until you make them kosher. They're not kosher, just like you couldn't eat, you know, I don't know, I'd love to take a good example. You couldn't eat a McDonald's chicken and cheese sandwich. Oh. They're that not kosher. Wow. I don't want to exaggerate. Okay, they're that not kosher. At the same time, though, they're an incredible opportunity. Why are they an opportunity? Because to take off chumos and maisos is a mitzvah. It's an incredible mitzvah. When else? So, meaning, some people, and I understand this, until you learn how to do it, you're afraid of them because the rabbis say it's not kosher. Moreover, if you would take this pepper, cut it up, fry it up in your frying pan, what have you just done? Traced up your frying pan. Why? Because the pepper's not kosher, so anything that has the taste of the pepper is also not kosher. So is there anything you can do for your frying pan? Usually not. You have to kosher it because it's got the taste of a non-kosher pepper. It's got truma in it that's prohibited. Now, this is a very different way of thinking than we're normally used to. Right? We're normally thinking either it is kosher or it's not kosher. So think about it in the terms of another, I guess an analogous example that we would be comfortable with is chametz. Right? Is chametz kosher? Sure it is. Unless it's on Pesach. And then it's not kosher. Right? But this is different because it is kosher until, it's not kosher until you separate, and then it would be kosher. So now, these peppers, these beautiful, lovely peppers, they are what's called tevel. We learned this term last week. Anybody remember what tevel is?
Produce from which the tithes and the truma hasn't been set.
Excellent, Ben. Right. Produce from which tithes and trumos have not been taken. Okay? Tevel may not be eaten. You have to separate the produce. Okay? So as we're going to see today, so I brought just a very, very limited halachic discussion. We're really going to see from the psukim, and then we're going to jump right to the practical issues and see what we're dealing with. But it's a very, very, there are a lot more halachos that are very relevant to this. You'll notice much of the Seder Zrayim, right? The order of seeds deals with trumos and masros. That's what we were learning in the Mishnah in the morning. Now, it's interesting also that in the Shulchan Aruch, the laws of truma and masra do not appear. Could somebody tell me why? Correct. The Rav Yosef Karo only wrote the Shulchan Aruch of the halachos that applied in their time, in where he lived in Europe in the late 1500s. So nobody took up trumos and masros. Ah, what about fruits coming from Israel? By the time they got there, it'd be run. Whoever imported, who could afford to import fruits and vegetables from Israel? Unless maybe you're talking about a lulav, maybe an esrog, but you know they. You know, this is like a Jew dream that you have the opportunity to eat the produce of the Holy Land. You know what I'm saying? And we should see it as such. Now, as I was saying before, people are intimidated by this produce. Well, You know, every now and then the vod will come out, or you know, the OU will come out, or be careful that there's produce from Israel. And they're absolutely right. So what do people say then? Oh, I'm not buying it. And so what do we accomplish? We give up on a mitzvah, and we don't support the economy of Israel. There's poor farmers who are making their living. So, you know, we should be the ones first buying it. So we're going to see that taking off trumos and masros are actually unbelievably simple. Incredibly simple. I forgot two more props. I don't have with me. Does anybody have a quarter and a nickel? Anyone have a quarter and a, need a quarter and a nickel? You say, what do you need a quarter and a nickel for? I only need one. One of each. Okay. Well, we'll see. I'll explain. I will explain. You got one? I got a quarter. Anyone got a nickel? Nickel or even a penny?
Nickel.
Excellent. Nickel. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, all of you here. So I have peppers. I have, I don't know how ripe these are. Persimmons. Again, persimmons. Sharon sweet and see this product of Israel. Okay, anybody have persimmons? They're beautiful persimmons. I've got a quarter and I've got a nickel. Very nice. Beautiful picture. Okay. What?
Those are from America.
These? Persimmons? Oh, the quarter and the nickel are American. Yes, they are uniquely American. So we're going to see. What are the halachic issues of Israeli produce? I'm on my source sheets. So there are five things you have to worry about. Actually, there are more things you have to worry about. But the other things we're going to talk about, I'm just going to mention briefly because you don't, excuse me, almost never have to worry about it. One is truma. Truma goes to the Kohen. Two is maaser. Maaser goes to the Levi. Three is Trumas Maaser. Trumas Maaser is what the Levi has to give to the Kohen. You can close the parentheses if you want. Okay? But the Levi has to give to the Kohen. Okay? Number four is Maaser Sheni. Secondary Maaser, which is what you have to take to Jerusalem during years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. And number five is Maaser Ani, which you give to the poor during the years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle. What year are we in the Shemitah cycle?
Six.
Very good. Very good. Right. You're absolutely correct. Year number 6. Next year is a Shemitah year. 5, 7, 6, 8 is a Shemitah year. So we're in year 6, but we're going to learn for all years. Okay? Says the Rambam. This has been learned last week, but it's worthwhile to review just as an introduction. Hatevel Keita. Remember the Rambam was learning forbidden foods. So one of the forbidden foods we said is Tevel. This food is absolutely forbidden for me to eat. Okay? How does it work? Kol ochas shehu chayav lahafrish mimenu trumot u'maaserot. Any food that one is obligated to separate from it, truma and maaser, kodem shehafrish mimenu nikra tevel. Before you separate, it's called tevel. You are looking at a tevel persimmon. Just to clarify what the terms are, this is a tevel persimmon. This is a tevel pepper. Right? This is very simple, straightforward. That's a tevel persimmon, tevel pepper. Wonderful. Okay. And it's forbidden to eat from it. Shneamar, as it is written, "V'lo yichalalu et kachi b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu l'Hashem." You shall not desecrate the sanctified items of the Jewish people. Kolomar, meaning, "Lo yinahagu behem minhag chulin." You cannot treat it as normal, as profane. This is not any ordinary pepper. This is a holy pepper. It, as long as the holy parts that are still in it, we're not taken off. And one who eats an olive's worth of tevel before trumot and masot are separated, chayav mita bidei shemayim. That's bad. Right? Mita bidei shemayim. How do you translate that? Divine death. Right, death by God. So don't mess with that. Okay? As it says, "V'lo yichalu b'nei Yisrael l'shem kachi b'nei Yisrael v'yishi ovan otam avon ashman." They will bear the burden of their iniquity. So where do these things come from? So you'll see, I just want to show you that it's all over the Torah, all over the place. Source, not truma, source number one. So the Kohanim, they were, any Kohanim here? No Kohanim? Okay? The Kohanim are the spiritual representatives of God. They serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Where is, by the way, where were the Kohanim's portion in the land of Israel? They didn't get one. Why?
We support them.
We are supposed to support them. Correct. And the way we support them is by this means. Right? God said to Aaron in Bamidbar, Vani hinei natati lecha et mishmeret trumati. I have given you the charge of my heave offerings. Lechol kachei b'nei Yisrael, for all the sanctified items of the Jewish people. Lecha metatim l'mashcha ulevanecha chok olam. Unto you I have given them by reason of anointing, and to your sons by ordinance forever. So what do you get? What do we get? What do they get? Zei yelecha mikodesh hakadashim min ha'esh. So first of all, the Kohanim got, first of all, from korbanot, from sacrifices. They were serving the Beis HaMikdash, so they got from the sacrifices. Kol korbanam b'chol minchatam u'l'chol chatatam u'l'chol ashabam asher yashibu li kodesh kadashim lecha u'ulubanecha. Every meal offering, every sin offering, every guilt offering which they shall render to me shall be most holy for you and for your sons. The kodesh hakadashim tochlanu. So the Kohanim, when they brought these sacrifices on the Beis, in the Beis HaMikdash on the altar, they were permitted to eat them where? Only in the Beis HaMikdash. So they, you know, they couldn't leave, they had to eat it there. Okay? Kol zachar yochala tol kodesh yelach. Only male Kohanim, you could eat it. Mizeh, I'm on verse Yudala, Pasuk Yudala. Mizeh yel lecha trumat matanam. And this is yours, the offering for their gift. L'chol tufot b'nei Yisrael l'cha netatim. For all their wave offerings to the children of Israel, I have given them to you. U'l'anecha l'vinotecha itach. If there's a wave offering, a tenufa offering in the Beis HaMikdash, right? So those are different kinds of grain offerings. They could take those home. As long as they were tahor, they were pure, you were allowed to eat it. And the rule was, by the way, it wasn't just the Kohen, it was the Kohen and his children, his legitimate children. So therefore, the Kohanim, by the way, were very careful about who they married, because if you married someone who was forbidden to you, your children would not be able to eat the truma. If your children could eat the truma, what would they eat? You know, how are you going to feed them? So the Kohanim were meticulous about their lineage. Okay. Moreover, pasuk yud beis, kol chelav yitar v'kol chelav tirosh v'dagan. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, all the best of the wheat. Reshitam asher yidnu l'chalashem l'chanetatim. The first of them which I shall offer to the Lord, them I have given you. Okay, what is that called? The first fruits. Anybody know? No. Bikurim. Right, the Kohanim got Bikurim. Bikurei kol asher be'atam asher yaviru l'Hashem l'cha yihyeh kol tahor be'beitecha yochlenu. Then the first fruits. So there's also chelev yitzar, the fat of the land, and then there's also Bikurim. So those are two different types of produce. That's true. My turn to page 2, please. What? His family is included.
And then, it doesn't say it's him and his children.
The halakhic principle of ishto kegufo, his wife is like him. So wives are included and children are also included.
To be and thy sons.
Right, meaning that sons have individual, as long as they're not married, or even if they are married, meaning thy sons be your descendants also. Absolutely included, unless she does what?
She marries a non-Kohen.
Unless she marries a non-Kohen. As soon as she marries a non-Kohen, she's off the books. Right, off the books. And she can no longer eat what from her father. Number 2, Devarim, Deuteronomy. Lo ye lekohanim halaviyim kol shevet levi chelek v'nachala im Yisrael. The kohanim and levim, they shall have no portion with Israel. Yishei Hashem v'nachala tel yochelun. They are the offerings of God, right? And they are made by the fire. His dues shall they eat. V'nachala lo ye lo bekerav achad. He also have no inheritance among his brothers, meaning the kohanim have no place, no inheritance land. Hashem u'nachala tel kasher diber lo. God is his inheritance as he spoke to him. By the way, so I have to give, well, let's see in a second. Pasuk Gimel, v'zeh yeh mishpat ha-kohanim ne'et ha'am, ne'et zovchei ha-zevach imshor imseh, right? For those who offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, v'natam ha-kohen ha-zeroah, they give the kohen the shoulder, the lechayayim, the cheeks, and the mar, the hakeba. Those are the matnas kohanim. Okay? So you have to give those to the kohanim. Reishid, moreover, digancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, the first fruit of your corn, of your wine, and your oil. Dagan is really not corn, it's your grain. So the first thing, when you have produce, when I have, we're going to see peppers also, so the first thing I have to do is give to the Kohen. Because God has chosen him from all of your tribes. To stand up and serve in the name of God, and all his children, all the days. Great. So I have to give the coin. How much do I have to give him? What did Tara say?
It doesn't.
Right. So how much should I give him?
I'm not sure.
How much did you want?
What?
Well, it's distinct of the parts of the ox or sheep.
Right.
So it doesn't say that, right?
It doesn't say. So how much, what's the minimum? The minimum, did you write the minimum is a mushroom. You said a mushroom? Right. Any amount. So I can say to the Cohen, Mr. Cohen, see that whole warehouse full of persimmons? Here's one. And I read you Araisa, was I Yotze my obligation? Yes, I was. So the Rabbanan said, no, I don't think so. How much do you have to give? So the Rabbanan, right, the Rabbanan said you have to give a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. This is a Mishnah in Trumos. Right, a 40th, a 50th, this is the accepted opinion. Either anywhere from a 40th of your produce to a 60th of your produce. Somewhere between a 40th is 2.5%, and the 60th is, I'm looking at the decimal, 1.8%, 1.6%, somewhere between those. If you're a normal person, you give a 2%. If you're cheap, you give a 60th. And if you're generous, you give a 40th. All right, very nice. Now, you think there's a small amount of spend. You know, if you're giving all your produce, if you have a lot of produce, that's your crop for the year. It adds up, and we're going to see it adds up even more. Now, who do you give it to? Which coin do you give it to? Which coin do you give the truma to?
Anyone you want.
Right. You decide who your truma goes to, which guarantees you that
someone isn't going to get.
Well, that's true too.
It's a popularity.
Yes, it is. What was the job of the coin?
Do the offering.
Just the offerings. What the coin do the rest of the time? 2 weeks a year, the average coin was in the daytime English. What did you do the rest of the time?
Sleeps.
What?
He sleeps.
Learns. Studies. Teaches. Right?
Has children.
Takes care of his family.
Presses the flesh.
If he's the priest and he represents spirituality, so he understands that if he wants you to give your truma, now you have to give it somewhere. Who are you going to give it to? So you're going to give it to the coin that's living with your children. You're going to give it to the coin that spends time with you. You're going to give it to the coin that connects you to God. It's not just you had to give it to whoever demanded it from you. The one thing you had the right to do was decide who you wanted to give it to. And that's not a small deal. It's a very important thing. And I think it went a long way towards connecting the Kohanim to the people. Because otherwise the Kohanim could just, you know, they could remain these aloof spiritual guys. I don't want to have anything to do with those lowly people, but it didn't work that way. Okay, let's look at the Chinuch. Just understand, listen to the Chinuch. The Chinuch says, the mitzvah is, Lahafrish Truma Gedola LaKohen. So the Chinuch says the rule, Shinishtavinu, I'm on the bottom of the page. Shinishtavinu Lahafrish Min HaDagan HaTirosh VaYitzar Truma. We have to take off from our grain and our wine and our oil truma, and we need to not tell the kohen, and we should give it to the kohen. He on the great truma gedola, right? Truma gedola. That's big truma. And this is said, Reishit gancha tiroscha v'yitzarecha titema. That's the verse we just read. Devarim chapter 17, verse 4. The first fruits of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, you should give to him. Okay. The rabbi said, according to Torah law, there's no measurement, no minimum requirement. You could say to the coin, here's 1 week, you're all set. But the rabbi said more. A guy who's a normal, regular, middle of the road, 1/50, like we said. They base it on the word truma. Truma, what does truma mean in Hebrew? Truma means a giving. Truma means a donation, a gift. So what does truma mean? Trei mimeya, 2 out of 100. Truma, get it? Truma, trei mimeya, 2 out of 100, 1/50. Okay, now we're in the second paragraph in the Chinuch. Why do we have this mitzvah? So the Chinuch is very interesting. Anytime you want to understand a deeper understanding of the meaning behind the mitzvot, you automatically look in the Chinuch. And there's actually a very beautiful, wonderful five-volume set Hebrew-English Chinuch, which is worthwhile to look at. Yisharshei ha-mitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah, lefish ha-dagan v'ha-tirosh v'ha-yitzar, because the oil and the grain and the wine, hein ikar michiatan shel briyot. We live on those things. Those are our sustenance. The ha'olam kulo la'kadosh baruch hu. The world belongs to God. Al-kein, therefore, ra'u le'adam lizkor et boro. It's worthwhile for a person to remember his Creator al ha'bracha asher b'racho, on the blessing that God has blessed us, v'shiyafrish k'tzat mimenu lishmo baruch hu, and that he should separate part of his produce for God, v'yidnenu l'mishartav, and give it to God's servants. Shehem, they are hakohanim ha'asukim tamid b'melechet shemayim. No, those are the kohanim that are always involved in heavenly work. Terem yigabo adam v'yehenah imenu klal. He says this. Where did this beautiful pepper come from? Came from God. So before you take part in it, what should you do? You should take part of it and give it to the servants of God to remind you where it came from. We do something similar. What do?
We say a bracha.
Right. It's interesting. The bracha is for the person, whereas the truma is a truma not so much for me, but on the object. You understand?
Yeah, well, bracha, when Rabbi Moab used to talk
about,
was a license.
Right.
Like a license.
Right, but the item itself needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for? What's that?
Released.
Very good. Good word. Right, that the item itself, so there's my relation to it and the item itself. But what's very interesting to me is, why then do we only have to take trumos and mazros on things that come from Israel? Truma is a mitzvah ha'tluya ba'aretz. It's only peppers that came from Israel. You go to Myers or go to One Stop and buy the peppers from Guatemala or wherever, no problem at all. Why then, only the peppers, the persimmons, the produce comes from Israel, has this commandment? Wouldn't that commandment of me recognizing where the blessing of God comes from be universal, no matter where I am?
I'm sure that would say...
Because we're also only Israeli produce.
Right. So if it's for one, then it's for the other, and that comes from the Torah.
All I'm saying is, it's interesting. You would think, just like... Would it be strange if you only had to say brachas in Israel?
Yeah.
But that's the same thing. Right? Imagine you go in Israel, you get on the plane, finally you land there in Ben Gurion, you can finally say a bracha. I feel that way, by the way, when I go, about brachas kohanim. I miss brachas kohanim, so I try to get as much as I can, try to make sure that I'm at a shacharis. I'm in a place where they're doing brachas kohanim. Because here, you only get it 3-4 times a year. There you get it every day, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So imagine you weren't allowed to say brachas. You would not say a bracha on this Berei Priya 8 unless you were in Israel.
The bracha is you're getting license from God to eat what He has given you.
Correct.
He or she has given you.
Right.
But that's anywhere in the world. With the products of Israel, there was the covenant between Hashem and...
Right. Meaning that somehow the produce of Israel is a manifestation of heavenly blessing towards the Jewish people more than any other produce. And there's a lot of truth to that. We've talked about it, and the Gemara talks about that God reserves the land of Israel for the Jewish people. And we all know historically that this is true as well. That only when the Jewish people are really living in the land of Israel does the land of Israel bring forth its produce. So the fact that we can have peppers from Israel isn't just a sign that, wow, isn't technology amazing? Because if the Jews didn't have Israel, we wouldn't be eating its peppers. So when you take off trumos and masros, it's not just a thanks for the produce itself, but the blessing that God gave us that we have the merit of growing the produce in Israel. And it's something very deep, very, very beautiful to think about when you eat your Israeli peppers from Mars, as you're all going to rush out and buy them tomorrow. Okay, that's truma. So, truma gedola, how much? How much?
A 40th.
A 40th, 50th, or a 60th. So let's say 50th, 2%. Great, next, maaser. Maaser. Oh, yes, Emily. No, it's only on the item. Once it's taken off, you're all set.
Do you take it personally because you're not sure if it's really good?
Correct. I mean, absolutely correct. Okay, we're going to get to the practical in a little bit. Maaser. I'm on page 2, but now Levi, hinena tati kol ma'asar b'yisrael l'nachala. The Levi's get ma'asar, right? Have given a tenth. How much is a ma'asar? What's the root of ma'asar? Eser, the Levim get a tenth. What? Chereb Abodatam, Asherim Odim et Abodat Ohel Moed, for their service that they serve in the Ohel Moed. Now, I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm not entirely sure. Doesn't it seem like the Kohanim get off, like, gypped? Doesn't it seem that way?
No.
But what do the Levim do? They wash their hands. They sing the songs. The Kohanim, they have to stay up all night, they have to do the second. What do the Levim do?
But they get all the meat and everything else. All they're getting is the vegetables.
Eddie. How many cows do you think there were in Israel? Millions of people. How many people grew produce? Everyone. What would you rather have? I'll give you an option. A little steak? Or a tenth? And 2%? Or 10%?
10%.
Very good. Okay. Moreover, okay, nobody should come to the Ohel Moed, so they get a tent. Verse 23 and Bamidbar 18. They have to bear their burden, meaning their responsibility. They also had no portion in the land of Israel. Why? They get this maaser. That's their inheritance. So maybe gets the maaser. Since they get the maaser, they get no inheritance. And now it's very important just to understand. Truma goes to the Kohen. Truma is Kodesh. It's sanctified. Okay? Therefore, a non-Kohen may not eat Truma. Moreover, a Kohen who's Tameh, who's defiled, may not eat Truma. Truma has the din, the law of Hektish. Maser, on the other hand, Maser is not Kadosh. This is important for today's day and age. Maser is a gift that you give to the lady. Let's say I said to the lady, here's the persimmon, one of my tenths, right? Do you mind sharing one with me? Sure, why not? You're allowed to eat it. Really, you're supposed to eat it al tara HaKodesh, but it doesn't require, but you don't have to. Maser is chulin. The word chulin means it's not Kodesh. Right? There's Kodesh and chol. Chol does not mean bad. Chol just means not holy. So when you give to the lady the maser, it's not holy. It's not sanctified. He can do with it really a lot of things whatever he wants to. He can use it as a gift. He can sell it. All of those things he's allowed to do with it. And that has great, great ramifications for today. Next thing you have to remember, number three, is Trumas Maser. Okay? Again, in Bamidbar, Ma'idaber Hashem El Moshe Limor. I'm on page 3. God said to Moshe, saying, here I am, page 3? You should have a page 3. No?
I have a 2 and a 4.
No, if you have 2 and a 4, turn it over.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I can show you my thing.
No, not that page 4.
Your page 3.
Did I take
3 and a 4. I'll take
right.
The 4. Okay.
2 and a 4?
That's okay. It's all good. That was from last week. Okay, I'm going to get to the end. Right, Amir Hashem, Moshe, Limor. God said to Moshe, Ve'el ha-Leviyim tigaber, speak to the Leviyim, ve'amar te'alehem, and say to them, when you take off the maaser, v'hare mote mimenu tzumat Hashem maaser min hamaaser. The lady doesn't get off scot-free. He takes his persimmon, right, his maaser, and he has to take off a tenth of his tenth. And what does he have to do with it? Give it to the Kohen. That's called Trumat Maaser.
Why does he have to give it 10% Why not 2%?
That's what the Torah says. Maaser min ha-maaser.
Then why does he call it Trumat Maaser?
Because he has to give it to the Kohen. You mean why should they call it Maaser Maaser?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. It's called Trumat Maaser. Okay?
He gives a tenth.
He gives a tenth to the Kohen. Now, by the way, what's the status of his tenth that he gives to the Kohen? Is it like Truma or is it like Maaser?
No, it's like Truma.
It's like Truma. Right. That's also very important. Okay, as we're going to see in a second. Okay, v'nechshav lachem trumatchem, it will be your truma, kidagan min hagoren ukemleya min hayemi yakev. It's like the corn of the threshing floor and the furnace of the wine press. I mean, it's the truma, just like you would give truma. Okay, so now this is very interesting. This has great halachic ramifications because there was a time when if you know Jews, we're all Jews, we're my friends, right? So what the Jews would say is, I can buy giving 2% to the Kohen. But what I can't buy is giving 10% to the lady. It was just too much, especially in the times of Ezra, when the Jews returned to the land of Israel before the second Beis HaMikdash was built. So they found, the rabbis found, especially, that Jews were taking off Truma, but they were not taking off Maser. Because everybody knew Maser, what's Maser? Come on, you know, I should give it to the lady, I can give myself. Let the lady come take it from me, who needs him? There's only one problem with that. There's one huge problem. And every Maser that they didn't take off was also called Truma Maser. What? The Kohen didn't get his. If you don't take off the Kohen's portion, what's that called? If you know that you didn't take off Maser or Trumas Maser, then what do you have? You've got Tevel. You're back to your Tevel pepper. So Trumas Maser must be designated and taken off. So what happened was they found, you know, that there were very reliable people, you know, the firm community, who took off. They were called Chavim and they're reliable. Everyone else, they weren't sure. So they had this thing called demai. You ever heard of that term, demai? Demai, as a homosexual, was produce where they knew truma was taken off, but they weren't sure if maser was taken off. And a whole other halachic category. We don't have demai today. Why don't we have demai today? Because if you're a person who's not going to take off maser, you're not going to take off truma either. You know, they'll do it all in one fell swoop, unfortunately. You know, it would be nice if people at least valued truma in and of itself. Okay? So now, let's go again. You have Truma Gedola, 140, 50, or 60. Maser, a tenth. Trumas Maser, a tenth of a tenth. Okay? Very good. How much is a tenth of a tenth?
1%.
1%. Fine. Maser Sheni. What's Maser Sheni? Says the Torah, Aser Taser, Eit Kol Tru'at Zar'echa. You should take off all of the produce, take a tenth of the produce of your field, Hayotzei HaSadeh Shana Shana, that comes from each year, verse 23, V'achalto Livnei Hashem Elokecha, and you should eat it before God, V'makom Asher Yivchar L'Shaken Shemo Sham, and the place that God chooses to dwell His name there, Ma'asar D'Gancha T'Yoshcha V'Yitzarecha, tenth of your grain, and your wine, and your oil, U'B'chorok B'Karecha B'Tzonecha, and the B'chor, and the firstborn of your flocks, L'man T'Yamad D'Yiras Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayamim, so that you will fear God. It's very interesting. So what do you have to do? So now how much you have left, by the way? You start with 100 bushels of grain. So how much you have left now? I've got, hold on a second, two went to the Kohen. I'm at 98 bushels. 10 went to the lady. I'm at 88.
The 10% is of the original 100%.
I don't think so. Well,
or is it of the what remains?
It's a good question. I don't remember. I think it's of what remains. I think it's what remains. Okay?
So it's 10% of what remains.
It's a little less. Yeah, 10%. I think it's 10% of what remains. But I don't remember exactly. I don't remember. Okay? 9.8. So now you're at 88. Right? Another 10%, you have to, what do you have to do? No, you have to give it. It's what it says. You should, achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, you should take it and eat it before God in the place that He chooses to dwell His name there. Where does God choose to dwell His name there? Yerushalayim. So you have to take 10% of your produce, right? Bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Does that make sense, Sammy?
No.
Why not?
Where would you buy your family?
What do you mean?
If you have to go to
the
Eretz Yisrael,
you're in Eretz Yisrael, right?
Right. If you have to go there, your family is not going to go with you, and you have to share with them.
Ah, so maybe your family should go with you. When were your family going to go to Yerushalayim, ostensibly? Three times a year, Aliyah L'Regel. Now, I'm not sure, by the way, in their times, I don't know, I get the sense that there was no way that everybody went three times a year. I mean, it's a trip. Nowadays, when Mashiach will come, it's clear that everyone will go. Why? Because, you know, we'll stay with an uncle or an aunt or whatever in the street, and it'll be great. It'll be like the biggest block party ever in history. It's going to be incredible. But then, it was too much of a trip. Can you imagine a parking nightmare in Yerushalayim around that time? I don't know. Although now they're building this train. You know, they're preparing for Mashiach, right? They're building a train that's going to go right up through Yerushalayim. You know, public transportation. Mm-hmm. From the rest of Israel. Right, goes
from the beginning over to the end.
Yeah, 2011, they're going to have a train from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, hopefully in 40 minutes. 40-minute train. But
the highway's like that.
Only without traffic. Yeah, you try to get there during when...
Erev
Pesach, you drive into Yerushalayim. Good luck. Have a fun time. Okay, so you have to. So Sandy's asking, how am I supposed to take all my produce to Israel? So it's interesting. One of the Mefarshim says that in reality, the idea was that everyone should have a connection to Yerushalayim. So if you knew you must spend 10% of your produce in Yerushalayim, you would send a son to live there. Why? Because that's where the seed of spirituality was. Everyone wanted to have a connection. There's no way you could eat 10% of your yearly crop in Yerushalayim in one fell swoop. Unless you would go and just... You didn't have to eat it yourself, by the way. You could share it with anyone you wanted. So if you want to go to Yerushalayim and just, you know, spend to your heart's content, be my guest. There's also one other problem, Sandy. Let's say you grew persimmons. How are you going to get 100 bushels of persimmons up to Yerushalayim? That's a potential problem. What did you say? So now we come into the quarter and the nickel. We're going to get to the quarter and the nickel. Says the Torah, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. V'chi yirbayim chahar derech. This is too far. Ki lo yuchal se'eto. Lo yuchal se'eto. You can't carry it. Ki rechak nimcha hamakom asher yivchar Hashem alokecha asum shemosham. It's just too far. And it's too much weight, too much produce. Ki yivarechecha Hashem alokecha, because God blesses you. Then, 25. Benatata bakasef. You can say, and I'm not saying this, how much is persimmon worth?
50 cents.
Huh.
They're two for a bucket, Myers.
These are two for a dollar. I think I paid $4 a ton for these things, for Israeli persimmons.
Two for a bucket, not the fruity ones, but the real ones.
Oh, okay. Well, not two for a buck. $3.99. Let's say $2. So I can say, I did it for this year. I'm going to, you know, see what I do for this year and, you know, dedication. I'm going to transfer the value of these persimmons onto money, right? And then the Torah says, you take the money in your hand, then you go up to the place that God chooses, to Yerushalayim. You can use that money to buy any consumable item in Yerushalayim, you and your 1,500 best friends.
So that's why you support your side of
Yerushalayim. Yes, right. That's exactly how you would do it. Because, I mean, otherwise, I imagine that's what people would do, unless they would just save up the money, but you are not allowed to use it out of Yerushalayim. Okay? So now, what?
That's my brother's excuse for his son and his...
Well, why do you think, by the way, you think that it's a temporary thing that people... You know, what would people do, probably? You know, let's say you were living in Yerushalayim, you know, that I'm sure they had, you think they only had Kolelim nowadays in Yerushalayim? I mean, that's somebody come today. Yeshiva in Israel, Yeshiva Kolel, 3,000 children. So what would they do? They'd walk around Israel saying, where's your Maaser Sheni? It's not going to cost you anything. Instead of you taking your Maaser Sheni, give it to me, I'll take it to Yerushalayim, you give me the money, and we'll use it for the poor orphan children in Yeshiva. But that was the idea, in order to support spiritual people, or you know, of that people of that nature in Yerushalayim. But they're going to buy food.
Oh, buy for them.
Yes, they will buy food for them.
You know, right. You feel like you have to say that to the person who's sort of...
What do you mean?
You have to say this is my Maaser Sheni to the person who's taking it.
Oh, he better know that it's your Maaser Sheni, sure. Yeah, you got to tell them, you know, this isn't just a pepper. This is a truma pepper. Like, people better know that. You have to worry. I mean, we just happen to be lucky there are stickers on them. But there's nothing identifiable about it. It's a pepper. A pepper's a pepper. How would you know? Big problems. What would happen? I mean, there are much of the discussion of the halachos is, what happens if I lose a sticker and then I mix it with all the other peppers? Big problems. I mean, really.
Throw out your peppers.
What?
Throw out all your peppers.
You might have to. Right. So that's why you got to be really careful about it, because there was no way to know. You know, especially once you separated truma. Let's say I take off truma. Right? I take two orange peppers, and now they're truma. I get into the kohen. And then they get mixed up with all the other peppers. Oh, man. You know, don't do that. It's one of those things that you should not do. So we're not going to have such problems. We're gonna solve that problem, not a problem. But that's maaser sheni. Okay? So you could take your maaser and transfer it. Now, maaser sheni, again, is chulin. It's not hekdesh. Okay, so, which is a very important rule as well. It's not sanctified, it's chulin. Last one is Maaser Ani. What's Maaser Ani? Mikshei Shalosh Anim, every 3 years. Tokiyat Kol Maasar Tvotcha Bashana Hi Vinachta Bisharecha. So lay it out with the negates. Ubaha Levi, the Levi shall come. Ki Eino Chedek V'Nachala Imach. He has no portion with you. And the ger, the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow in your place, in your gates, the achlu v'saveyu, and they shall eat and be full. The man yivarecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'asei yadcha asher ta'aseh. The rule is, in the third year and the sixth year, instead of ma'aser sheni, instead of taking to Yerushalayim, you have to give it to the poor. But altogether, for your regular farmer, how much does he have to give away of his produce? Approximately 22%. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's what the Torah demands. Approximately 22%. He's not allowed to touch.
A little bit more than that, because you've got to give the master ani twice in 6 years.
What?
So that's another 10%. Master ani, the last one.
No, it's in place of. It's in place of.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Turn to page 4. Anybody want to guess where I got this from, page 4? I got it from, if you look at the bottom, the Starcade website. I'm not making it up. It's right there in front of you. Starcade.org, kashrus.whatever. You can look it up yourself. You can download it. Okay? This document should be posted in a conspicuous place. Okay? So we have to understand what we're doing. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to take off truma. Now, when you designate truma, you have to designate which part of the produce you're going to take it from. You have to say which piece of the fruit, and then you're going to take it off from that piece of the fruit. You're going to designate it, okay? Or, you know, if I have a bundle or I have a bag of produce, I have 4 peppers. I've got 2 persimmons, okay? The rule is, I can take them together. I can designate it together, but I have to separate from each one. I can't do peppers on persimmons. I can do peppers, but I can't take off a little more pepper and then leave the persimmons whole. Each species, each kind of produce has to have its own ties, trumot, separated.
You have 2 peppers, you have to take from each pepper.
No. From each one. You don't have to take from each pepper.
Each food.
Right. Okay? The coin you are using for the separation must be in front of you for the ma'aser sheni. Okay? I'm going to use a nickel for my ma'aser sheni. Okay? Now, there's a reason why I'm going to do this. Okay? Break off or cut off more than 1/100 of the food and set it aside from the rest. Why 100? So it says exactly why. For Truma and Trumas Ma'aser. Why Truma and Trumas Ma'aser? Why 100? A little more than 100.
The Trumas Ma'aser is 100.
Good.
And the Truma is any amount.
Correct. Right. Since I'm not giving it to the Kohen. By the way, why am I not giving it to the Kohen? Nowadays, we don't give the Truma to a Kohen. There's a few different reasons. Why not? What?
I mean,
anyway, they're telling me. Number 2? They don't need it? No, they need it. They don't take it. That's the key. If a non-Kohen would eat truma, what does he get? Bad, right? So now, we don't have any real yuchsin to know. We don't have documented proof of who's a real Kohen. So even the Kohen who thinks he's a Kohen, alright, whoop-de-doo, so you can go and give the Brechas Kohen. You know, it's not the end of the world. Right? And it's important, it's very important, they should not become tame. But when you come to eating truma, that's serious. You're going to risk it?
What about the genetic portion of the Y chromosome?
All right, so...
genetically determined?
No.
When Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he says that test is a legitimate test to determine kahuna, I'll be okay. What they're going to have to do is go to Aaron, right?
Yeah,
get his, and then they'll test for it. Then everybody will know.
Body.
What?
Because you got to find out his body.
What are you talking about?
After the Mashiach comes, he'll be around.
I'm talking now.
Oh, you want to know now? I can't help you right now. Okay? So that's another reason. Okay? So since they're all Tame. All right? What's that? Where? Oh, what do you think you might be?
It's not where I think. They say Jordanians think he's in Petra.
In Petra? Could be. One day he'll walk in. All right. Very good. Okay. Say the following either in Hebrew or English. You need not say it in Hebrew. You just say the following. I'll read it in Hebrew, and then you can follow the translation. Yoter mi'echa mi'mea.
Where is that? I'm sorry.
See, I'm on the top right, on the fourth page. Page 4. Turn the page.
Yeah.
Yoter mi'echa mi'mea sheyeshkan harehu tshuma gedola b'tzad shfono. Doesn't matter. You can say tzad shfono. So more than 100th, okay, is tshuma gedola in one side. Okay. So that 100th. So now I have 100th, right? I'm going to say it's on the north side of the fruit. Somewhere this side, north. We'll call this north. And that. Okay? That 100th and another 9%, the O Tishachalakim like it, on that side, on the north side, of the fruits, Harehu Maaser Rishon. I'm declaring. It's going to be Maaser Rishon. Actually, okay, I'll do it right now. Okay, so more than 100th of these fruits. Okay, how much would you say is 100th of all four of these? Yeah, a little piece, a little slice. Okay, is going to be Maaser, is going to be Truman Gedola. I declare Truman Gedola. Okay, that and 9% more. Okay, like it on the north side of the fruits is Maaser Rishon. I now declare to be Maaser Rishon. Oto echad mimea she'asitiv Maaser Rishon. Asui Trumat Maaser. So that 100th that I make Maaser Rishon, that 1% that I said of the 10%, I'm making it Trumat Maaser. Okay? Now this is not a Maaser Sheni year, but if it was a Maaser Sheni year, I would say Umaaser Sheni Bidromo. Maaser Sheni is on the other side. Umnechulahu v'chomsho al kruta v'matbea sheyachilta l'chil Maaser Sheni v'ravai. Okay? So now, I have Maaser Sheni. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take the Maaser Sheni, remember, I could transfer the value of Maaser Sheni onto money. I'm going to make my nickel Maaser Sheni. By the way, I'm not doing it now. Why? Because why? It is my nickel. Can I have this nickel? Yes.
Your
it's my nickel. Thank you. It's my nickel. Why am I not doing it? Very simple reason why I'm not doing it today. I'm going to eat it. It's not the right year. It's the sixth year. We're in the third and the sixth year. So I don't have to do it. Okay, but that's okay. But if you have to do it, you just do that, okay? V'im sarich ma'aser ani, and if I require ma'aser ani, right, because this year I require ma'aser ani, then you have ma'aser ani bidromo. Im hu ravai, ravai means if it's the produce of the fourth year, which we didn't talk about, you have mechulah hu b'chom so al kuta, and then it also should be it should be transferred to this kuta, v'mabesh yichadakei, I designate it l'chila ma'aser sheni b'ravai. Now, by the way, when I do this, this becomes a Maaser Sheni nickel. So you can't use it for something else. You have no right to use it for something else. Okay, so there are one of two ways to deal with the Maaser Sheni nickel. Right? The reason why I have a... No. What you can do is that the value in this nickel, I'm going to transfer into a quarter, or let's say a silver dollar, that I have in my drawer. That way I can always keep my nickel and keep using it until I use it up. You understand?
You have to keep track of how many nickels.
You have to keep track of how many nickels you have in your quarter. And that way you can keep using the nickel. And when the quarter is full, you know what you do with the quarter? You have to throw it away.
Throw it away?
Yes, because it has to be taken to Yerushalayim. You can't give it to anybody.
So why can't you take it to Yerushalayim?
Because we're all Tamei. We don't take it to Yerushalayim. We throw it away. It says you throw it to the Yam HaMelech. Get rid of it. Okay, we don't keep the quarter itself. Okay, so now, by the way, now what do? Wrapped, I have to break up, one second, I have to break up a piece now. I designated a piece of this produce, 1/100th of it. Now I need 100th plus a little bit. Why 100th plus a little bit? Because I remember I had 100 of Trumat Maaser plus a little bit. Oh yeah, it has to be part of the edible, sure. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay. You want to get rid of the bad part for the cone? Okay, yeah, whatever. All right, sure. Is it edible? Yeah, okay, wrap it up. Would you say there's 100 of all these four peppers?
Okay.
Yeah? It has to be.
Yeah. Well,
what do you think?
I don't think so.
What?
You stop it each one into 25 quarts.
Right.
Each one, it should be
120. Yeah, I got 24. Right. Okay, so you wrap it up. Okay. In plastic. And you discard it. You throw it away. You have to wrap it up. And if this is truma, well, you're now looking at truma. Why did I make a bracha, by the way? I did not make a bracha. It's a mitzvah. What I did is a mitzvah. A big mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Hafsasa's truma. The only reason I did not make a bracha is because I'm not 100% certain that somebody didn't take truma off this already. I'm almost sure. In fact, it says, there's a little article from the OU, which is a very nice article also, but the Star K one is much clearer. I recommend, if you want to read it on the Star K, it's much clearer. But the OU, he writes, he said, many people mistakenly believe that the chief rabbinate of Israel separates truma and maaser from all produce exported to America. Our office clarified this matter with the Rabbanut, and regrettably, this is presently not the case. Okay, so meaning they don't. People think that the Rabbanit does, right? They don't. You know, there's no requirement for the Gilad Pepper Company to take off Trumot and Masrot. It's a very big burden. Okay?
And that's whether the company is owned by Jews or non-Jews.
If it's, yeah.
Produce of Israel.
Yeah, produce of Israel. Israeli produce. The only difference is about Jews, Jewish or non-Jewish owned is Shemitah. It's a Shemitah year. If it's grown by a Jew in Israel during the Shemitah year or not. Okay? Of course, if produce is in a packaged item which bears reliable supervision, one need not be concerned with Tevel. So let's say you go to one shop and you buy Israeli wheat. If it's got a hechsher on it, which I think they all do, you have to check it for bugs, because you have to do that from Israeli, you know, grain and stuff, but you don't have to take Truma to Masra. This is Truma, okay? This is not kosher. This is now kosher. Was that hard to do? No, very easy. You just read the text, really. Take off 100 plus a little bit. You discard this, which we're going to do, and then you enjoy the bounty of the produce of the Holland. Gum good peppers. Easy as pie.
Disturbed by the fact that that's being thrown away.
Not an election.
But the original purpose was to
give it to the Kohen.
Give it to the Kohen, and you're, in essence, you're saying, "Wow, now I've got a kosher pepper, and the heck with the Kohen."
God forbid. I would love to give it to the Kohen.
So we've got a few.
What? First of all, they have to go to the red heifer, their tummy. Mm. Right, so they have to get sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer, the para aduma. Only one problem. And got one, right? Second of all, they better know for darn sure that they're kohanim and be willing to risk their life on it. All for a piece of pepper. Would you? when you take off challah off of your dough, which we're going to discuss in subsequent weeks, what do you do with it?
I make sure I don't make enough.
Ah, excellent. We'll talk about that. Why? Why do you burn it? Give it to the Kohen. Challah is one of the matnas kahuna. That's what it is. Why don't you give it to the Kohen? Exact same reason. We're going to talk about, by the way, one of these weeks, whatever. Challah is serious. You can't just... You burn it up, but you have to be careful how you do it, because challah also is not kosher. The challah is like just pepper. It's not kosher. It has to be discarded.
That's
okay?
I looked up how much you have to make in order to make it, so I don't think that.
Now, by the way, look at number four. The food may now be eaten.
Years, and I still don't, we couldn't eat that.
Look at that. If one does not want to say the long version, the following may be said. All separations and redemption shall take effect as is specified in this Stargate document outlining the procedure for separating tumas and masas, tribes and redemptions, which I have in my possession. When used this method, only a little over 100 of the food will not be permitted to eat. All the rest will be eaten. Even though the tithes, this is important. What about the maaser? How come I didn't take off maaser? I designated maaser, right? So in here, there's maaser. Remember, what did I tell you about maaser? Who does maaser? Right, anyone can eat it. So now, fine, anyone can eat it. Right? And maaser sheni, I took off on my nickel. I have to take it to Yerushalayim. But what about maaser itself? So he says, even the tithes, though the tithes consume over one-fifth of the food, one is permitted to eat most of the tithes oneself, even though he may not be a Kohen or a Levi. Why? I say, yeah, I got my share here. If you're a Levi, come prove it to me, and I'll be happy to give it to you. That's what we call it, Hamotzi Nechaber, or Olav Araya, right? You prove to me you're a Levi, it's yours. But until the Levi steps forward and proves to me that he's the Levi, I'm going to eat it. And so you're allowed to eat it. The maasers are not permitted, prohibited to eat. Okay, the aforementioned instructions must be strictly followed. The laws of the tithes apply to everyone, including the Kohen and the Levi. Why? Why including the Kohen?
Because he doesn't know the same thing. He doesn't know if he's a Kohen.
Right. He didn't know he's a Kohen either. So now we saw, I have to still have to do it for the persimmons. I didn't do it yet. But it's really very straightforward. Right? You, until you hear, oh, I can't take off truma and maaser, once you see it, you read this in Hebrew or in English, you take off just a small portion, a little bit over 100, you separate it aside, any maaser sheni on a nickel, whether you're going to check, or keep designated on a silver dollar or what have you, okay? And then it's fine. And not only have you done the mitzvah of hafrashas trumas and masos, right? I think we should not minimize. It's a tremendous mitzvah and a tremendous merit that we live in a time and a place that, even if we're not living in Israel, I just fulfilled one of the mitzvos hatzuliyos ba'aretz. It's incredible. And how many times can you do that when you're making salad? And it's an amazing thing. So, as opposed to saying that well, I don't want to, I'm afraid, you should all be running to buy the peppers and the persimmons from Israel while they're still here. Because it's an incredible opportunity to do a great mitzvah that most people never have the opportunity to do. Yeah?
What if it's a kind of produce that you can't remove an edible plate?
Mike?
An artichoke, which has all that stuff on the outside. To remove it, you would have to actually destroy it. You have to take it apart and cut into the part that's eaten on the bottom.
You cut off a piece of it. So normally what they would do is, you don't have to remove it. You would take, normally what they would do is, probably what they would do is 100 artichokes and get one to the Kohen.
So,
you know, there's no requirement.
You're only buying
artichokes from Israel?
I don't think
I understand what you're saying. You probably have to take off, you know, when you open them, like when you're cutting them to give.
Right.
Yeah, like a pepper. You'd have to take off a piece of it, I think. When you're making whatever you make. Right, when you're making your artichoke hearts. Okay? Very good. Everyone, run to Meijer's, buy your persimmons, buy your peppers. And I also saw, they said sometimes sliced grapefruit in the can, grapefruit or, you know, prepared grapefruit can be from Israel as well. So you should be aware of that and be careful. And if it is, same thing. Take off a little grapefruit. Designated truma, put on maaser, do the maaser sheni, and you're all set. And it's not as hard as people think, and it's a great opportunity to fulfill an incredible mitzvah. Have a great week, everybody.
I have one pepper.